July 18th, junior high and track camp, evening chapel.
Hey, can we give it up for the worship team this week? They've been doing an awesome, awesome job. Okay, we're going to pray really quick, but we're going to pray for everybody who is sick at camp. Okay? There's a lot of people feeling sick and not very good, and a lot of people who've even gone home early because they've been throwing up and other things, and so let's just pray for them right now, okay? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear Jesus, we ask that you will take all sickness away right now. Heal everybody who is sick and not feeling well. May their insides feel normal and be good, and may they regain their energy very, very quickly. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning, we talked about having to go, tell our story, figuring out who we're going to tell it to, and then inviting people to spend time with us and God together. Well, this evening we're getting a chance to hear from Robin, who's got a pretty awesome story. I think it's awesome. And her story, you're going to hear about it. And I want you guys to pick up on one thing, if nothing else. Okay? Okay, you pick what it is, but I'm going to ask you a few questions. So I want you to listen really carefully and be like, you know, I noticed this about her story. Because I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, okay? Could you do me a really, really big favor? Could you, like, be as good a listeners? Hey, girls. Could you be as good a listeners you have been for me as you will be for Robin? You'd be that good a listeners for Robin? I think I said it backwards, but you know what I mean. Okay, Robin, why don't you come on up?
All right, you're going to put this on right there.
Okay.
Okay, and this is going to go right there.
Cool. Okay. Hi. It's a wild robin. Funny. Yeah, my name is Robin. Some of you guys don't know me, but I'm a tent leader for Trek, so I sleep in the bushes. And I'll be real honest, I really hate speaking in front of people, so if I don't look up at you, it's not because I don't like you. So I'm just going to read right out of my book. Okay, so I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but when I was 10, I was blessed with an opportunity to attend Bible camp. It wasn't this camp, it was Living Springs. And that was the first time that I learned about Jesus and how he died for us. It always made sense to me that there was a God, so it didn't take much for me to think that the story of Jesus was true. But there was a lot that I didn't understand, and the things I struggled with the most were grace and God's unconditional love. It didn't make sense to me that a perfect God could love someone so flawed and broken. I always thought that living for Christ couldn't be that easy, that grace and unconditional love were neat concepts, but that I had to do something or become good enough to earn God's love. And honestly, trying to earn God's love or become good enough to be a Christian was exhausting. More than anything, I just wanted to feel loved and accepted, and I searched for it in all the wrong places because they were quick fixes and they were easy to find. In my high school years, I would try to earn God's love throughout the summer when I worked at camp or when I went as a camper. But then throughout the year, I would just turn back to all the quick fixes and rely on those to make me feel like I was loved. And eventually those quick fixes caused me to feel more broken and flawed until it was so bad that I actually believed that I was trash and was not worthy enough to be loved. I was in a super dark place, but God is faithful and God is good. And it was right about the time that I truly felt hopeless when one of the girls that I grew up going to camp with convinced me to go back and visit her at camp. I was never a vulnerable person when it came to sharing my feelings, but I totally broke down and told her everything. And she looked me dead in the eye and asked me if I even knew what grace meant. Together we Googled the definition of grace. Do you guys remember what the definition of grace is?
No.
Thomas, what's grace?
Grace is like when somebody has a punishment, but somebody else does it for them.
Kinda. So grace is undeserved favor or undeserved help that God gives to us, which is super great. Super nice. And then she had me read Romans 5:8 and Ephesians 2:8. And I'm just going to read those out. You don't have to look them up. So Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God." So there was kind of this light bulb moment for me where I realized that God loves me despite my brokenness or my flaws. And it was that moment when I thought that maybe having a relationship with Christ could be that easy. So God's way is so much better than ours, and he totally used my friend, her name is Lexi, she's my best friend, I love her, to shine that light into my light. So God is faithful, and he is good, and he walked beside me through the entire journey, just waiting for a moment to shine that light in my life. I know now that he loves me unconditionally, despite my flaws, because of his grace. And how amazing is that? We are all loved so much by a man who died to know us, and I think that's great. But yeah, that's my story. So.
So what did you notice about Robin's story? Anybody? What did you notice about Robin's story?
She went to camp.
She went to camp. What else did you guys notice? Right back there. Say it loud so we can all hear.
She didn't grow up in a Christian home.
She didn't grow up in a Christian home. Anybody else like Robin? Yeah. Yeah, there's lots. Okay, what else did we notice? Anybody notice anything else? Yeah, right here.
That God is forgiving and shows us grace.
Yeah. Does anybody else like Robin that you're like kind of confused at grace? Like even though you understand it's undeserved favor, but sometimes you're like, oh, there's got to be something I got to do to earn it. Yeah. Yeah? What did you notice?
That when she started believing more in God, she was happier.
Yeah, when she started being with God more and believing, turned her life around, didn't it? Way in the back. This is our last one.
Oh,
such a good pickup on your part. It was her friend. Her friend, do you remember what her friend did? She invited Robin to come and spend time with her and God back at camp. And that was super important for Robin. Girls, if you can't be quiet, I'm going to have to ask you to leave, okay? Thank you. So that was super important for Robin to have her friend invite her back to camp and to spend time. And then they had a super good talk. And Robin's mind was kind of maybe blown a little bit. Grace is undeserved favor. I can't do anything. I just have to accept it. Did you know that God's love for this world is huge? You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
How does God share his love with this world? What's his best way to do that?
Everything we see around us.
Yeah, creation. That's a great way. What's another way? Any ideas? It's the person beside you who can share God's love with you and you with them. Girls, I'd like you to go sit in the back with Tara. Okay, we'll just wait for you. One, two. Thank you. So it's your the person beside you. It's everyone here that can share God's love with this world. And we saw this morning, if you were at the junior high camp chapel this morning, that you saw that it just takes one person to start. And it becomes this ripple effect. It becomes this huge thing. When somebody shares a little bit about Jesus, and then this person shares, and then we both share, and then those four people that share, and then those eight people share, and then those 16 people share, and then those 32, and then those 64, and those 128, and those 256, and those 512, and then those 1,024?
Yeah.
2,048? When we begin to share, each one of us, boom! It explodes. Could you imagine if each one of us shared every week God's love with somebody else? What would happen to our province? What would happen to our country? What would happen to your school? What would happen to your family? What would happen to your life? Everybody would know about God's love. They may not all decide to choose to follow it, but they would all know God's love. How amazing would that be if our world knew about God's love? That would be incredible. Pretty soon it would be the norm for us to know about God's love. It would be the norm for us to think, boy, I could do something. I can make a difference. I could make a difference. But it just takes one. Just takes one person that we start with. It takes one person. And then two. And then four. And pretty soon, it's out of control. And God's love is just spreading like wildfire. Could you imagine? Let me read you a story. Okay? This is John chapter 15. So if you got your Bible here, John chapter 15. You guys ready? Oh, not yet. We'll give you a little bit of time. John chapter 15, I totally messed up. It's Luke. I got it right in front of me. It's Luke 15. And we're going to start at verse 1. Luke, verse 1. So while you find out, I'll give you some context. Back in those days, it was the Romans who had control of most of the known world at that time. And the Romans would collect taxes. And it wasn't like today where you could do your taxes online and then send a check in, or you send an e-transfer and you're good. In those days, somebody would come to your house and just say, I think you owe $5,000. You'd be like, you gave me something personally the other day. You owe me $100. That's not fair, is it? And so these tax collectors would be taking money off the top, and they'd give what they had to give to the Roman government, and then they'd keep lots extra for themselves. And so if you were friends with the tax collectors and you were in with them, then guess what? You probably didn't have to pay as much taxes as the next guy. But everybody disliked the tax collectors because they were dishonest. Now, let's listen. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain. He was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told this story. This is a great story, by the way. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven when one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have never strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man has two sons. The younger has told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father." What do you think his father did? Just listen, just listen. This is great. Maybe you know the story. Let's listen. "And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now is found.'" Isn't that a fun story? So You know what I think? I think there are times when we are really lost that we need somebody to help us find our way home. Has anybody been lost before? Yeah? It's super scary to be lost. And you're like, lost. I don't mean like, I kind of don't know where I am, but I know I'm like, mom's that way, so I'll just go that way. I mean like, no clue where your home is, where your family is, where anybody is. You don't even know what street you're on. Like, you are lost. It's scary. But I'm not talking about being physically lost, am I? I'm talking about being spiritually lost. Now, Robin shared with us how she was spiritually, like, she didn't get this grace thing. Like, she understand God, she understand this, but she was lost. And she needed somebody to go and help her find her way back to Jesus. Who are you going to help find their way back to Jesus? Who is it? Are you going to go? Will you go? Is anybody with me? Are you going to go and tell your friend about God and invite them to be with you and God? Invite them to start that relation? Invite them to get connected back again with God? This is super important. And you're going to come to a point in time where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're going to come to a crossroads when you get back to school this fall. And you're going to be like, ah. But it's just so easy to like not care. It's just so easy to like kind of just do my thing. So here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. If you stand up and you be counted as somebody who's going to tell somebody else about Jesus, if you stand up and you tell somebody else about Jesus and you invite them to be with you and invite them to be with God, this world will be a different place. Will you go? If you're going to go and do that, I want you to stand up with me. This might be a little bit awkward, but I want you to stand up with me and let yourself be known. Okay, look around, you guys. Now, some of you might be standing just because, like, well, my friends are standing and they're like, I don't want to be not standing. But look around us. Look around us. Could you imagine what's going to happen to your schools? What's going to happen to your community if each one of you starts inviting your friends, your family to be with you and God and to grow in a relationship with God? Some of you have a family that have a different religion. It's going to absolutely transform your family. Some of you have friends that have zero idea of Jesus, who? It's going to transform them. Is it easy to say it now? Probably. Will you have the determination when you're back at school this fall? And the rubber meets the road, the tires hit the road, and you're like, okay, this is real. I've got to go. I got to tell my friend. You guys can sit down. So if this is real, guys, this is super exciting. If this is real, this is super exciting because this world, as of right now, is different. Your world, as of right now, is different because you've chosen to walk to the beat of Jesus and no longer your own beat. Because this is God's number one biggest desire in the world, to see His people, His creation, be in right relationship with Him. Excuse me, please sit down. All right? His number one desire is to see this world and you specifically in right relationship with Him. And it's not painful. It's not hard. It costs a lot. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But it's pretty straightforward. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We ask that you will continue to encourage and continue to challenge us beyond this week of camp and when we get home and we're at school and we find it really, really hard to be a Christian. Right now it's easy because we're at camp. We're with a bunch of people who also love you. Teach us what it means to love you, even when we're in a hard place. In your name I pray. Amen.